Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. The GDED and I recently read a memo by Howard Marks of Oak Tree Capital titled Selling Out. Now, really like this one. It resonated with us because, in our opinion, Marks really has long-termism. He has that long-term mindset. And again, we're talking Howard Marks, not Carl, okay? Distinct difference here. He discusses the basic idea of how everyone in financial, you know, personal finance, financial sales and things like that, whatever you're in, it's always investing, buy low, sell high. And it's like the four-word mantra that everyone uses. But he actually challenges it. And Gino, I want to hear your perspective first before we break this down onto why there may be some issues with buy low, sell high.
Jake, I'm really glad that you asked me that question because I've been pondering this over the last 15 or 20 years of my investing career. And I've been trying to time the market. Back in 2018 and 2019, Jake and Gino are starting to buy assets and we're hearing that the market is hot. 2020, whoa, multifamily, we're at the high point. 2021, same thing. 2022, do you know how you can tell when you've hit the top of a market? I want you to look back and go, oh, that was the top of the market. There is no possible way ever to be able to time the market. And if you think you can, you're going to make a big mistake. Now, this is what's happening. When people say buy low and sell high, what really happens is they buy high and they sell low. And I'm going to throw this out there to anybody, and I'm going to get probably a lot of hate mail. I haven't gotten hate mail in a while, but please don't show me this BS that stock market has returned 8% over the last 40 years. How many people out there have actually kept their money in the stock market for the last 40 years and not pulled it out when they've seen the market go to 8,000 and go back up to 30,000? It's true. If you're going to follow Howard Marks's strategy, you possibly could. But how many out there, when you hit a certain age, you need to pull money out of retirement? If you were in 2008 and all of a sudden you're at a high point, oh, I'm going to retiring, and you lose 30% of your equity, and now you still have to start cashing in your stocks, that 8% is null and void. It's gone. So that's really, really important. Don't look at those numbers as 8%. Now, obviously, if you need to sell for some type of capital event, we should talk about this. If you need to replace it and put it into a different asset, that's understandable. You have a different opportunity. But for me, the way I've been able to create and, you know, 10x my net worth over the last decade and a half is to really buy a stable, cash flowing, performing asset that I want to hold and be willing to hold for the next decade to two and let that thing work itself through inflation, through a principal pay down, and I'm getting paid cash flow every month. And if I continue to hold that asset and continue to manage that asset well, it's going to pay me for my generation, not only mine, but my children's as well. So for you out there trying to time the market, it's a difficult thing and it's really, really hard. That's why you need to learn the three pillars of real estate in multifamily or in any real estate aspect: market cycle, debt, and exit strategy. You can make money in real estate in any part of the cycle. You just need to know what to buy at what part of the cycle, and you need to have an exit strategy. Our exit strategy is buy and hold for the long term. So if we're looking to buy and hold for the long term, we're looking for certain assets that we like. We're not willing to buy assets that are older in this part of the cycle, because then what happens is we're holding for 20 to 30 years. All of a sudden, they get older. Unless we're buying these assets at a material discount, we can add a ton of value to them. We can renovate them and make them as if they're brand new. Now, I went off the rails on that answer. I know that answer is a lot longer because I'm fired up. But really, think about it. I mean, Sam Freshman wrote the syndication book. Man is in his 80s. You know what his mistakes were? His mistakes were he didn't buy enough, and he's from California, and he sold too soon. So somebody in their 80s is giving you sage advice. Wisdom is something that a lot of us lack, especially us that are younger. You should listen to an older person's advice and say, how do I do that? How do I buy more? And how do I hold on to those longer? Because we have that shiny object syndrome where we want to cash in our chips and we want to say to ourselves, hey, I've made some profit. Get rid of that ego. That ego always crushes you, kills you, and you always make mistakes.
All you're doing is, I think it's a weak mentality because, oh, it shows a profit. I'm out. Look at my track record. I'm great. Mm-hmm. Have faith in yourself. If you truly believe in something, write it out. You know, you get the, oh, we got the mark. We're out. Let's get out of the asset now. That's so many people. I think it's, and you touch on ego. That's so huge because now look, I can show a track record. It's all this posture bullshit that people go through. And really, Gino, you're talking about taking advice from someone who's seen it. So many people are, you know, oh, we're so smart. We know this, we know that. And there's people that have done this for years. That's why we're referencing, you know, Howard Marks here, Sam Freshman. learn from these folks that have gone through it. That's why we have the long-term mindset. You know, we take advice from these folks that have proven it over the long term. Now, we're not big stock guys, but the memo gives a breakdown of buying Amazon in 1998. And he says, everyone wishes they bought Amazon at $5.
How much?
Five. Yeah.
Five.
What are you going to do
dollars
with $5 these days?
In 1998.
You can't even get a sandwich for $5 anymore. Okay. Inflation, that plays a part into it. Let's consider that. But he says, everyone wishes they've bought Amazon at $5 on the first day of 1998, since the stock is now 660X that, and it's over $3,300.
How much?
$5 to over $3,300. So this is where it gets very interesting, though, because he says, who would have continued to hold when the stock hit 85 from 5 to 85 in 1999, up 17X, okay, in less than 2 years? Tons of people sold at that point. But we're talking about buying low, selling high. You get out at the high mark, but it's also harder when something dips. Who among those who held on in 1999 would have been able to hold and avoid panicking in 2001 when it fell 93% down to 6? Still up a buck, but you went from 5, okay, way up the ladder to 85, and then back down to 6. You know, a lot of people sold at that point. So Gino was talking earlier about riding the wave over 40 years. Bullshit. People panic and they get out. People make a little bit of money and they get out. Mm-hmm. No one's buying and holding. Okay. And it gets even deeper. Late 2015, it hit $600, up 100X from the 2001 low. Who's not selling at that point? But that was only an 18%. That was only 18% of the overall rise from the low, because now it's at over 3,300. So, oh, we bought Amazon at five. We sold at 600.
Still great.
We're not complaining, but you only picked up 18% of the true value of today, which is over $3,300. That's why we love multifamily. We invest in growth markets. Okay. So there's people moving to those markets. There's increased demand. It's a basic human need. That's why we love multifamily. Now, Gino, there's another piece to this. Okay. We talked about salespeople, financial advisors. Okay. Who's motivated for you to sell typically?
Wall Street. And think about it.
Yeah.
And they're churning and burning. They want you to create those trades. It's all about getting in there and saying dollar cost averaging or whatever the case may be. They want you to go in there. They want you to churn that account. That is who is making the money.
We have a new idea. We can sell you on this one.
That's right. And it goes on and on. I need to say this. It's really important. You need to go back and listen to the podcast we did with Andrew Cordell on the rules of money. What we're talking about here is really the wealthy mindset. Let's distinguish this. The poor, middle class, and even the rich mindset are like, oh, I just made, 100%. I'm going to get out. Great. The wealthy mindset says, I made 100%, but is there more of a runway to go? Do I still continue to like
Amazon?
Or
do I believe in the asset?
Yes.
For crying out loud, do you really believe in it? Is everyone gambling out here?
Yes. And that is, there's so much truth in that. So go back and listen to the podcast with Andrew, because he talks about that wealthy mindset. And this we're really discussing, that wealth mindset.
Convictions.
That's why so few people, 4% of people in the country, when they're 65 years old, they can retire comfortably. Think about that. You've had a 40-year runway. If you were making 8% in the stock market for the last 40 years, when you retire at 65, shouldn't you have millions and millions of dollars? No, because the financial advisors have been churning your account. You've put something in a 401k. It's worth 30% less, because now all of a sudden you got to pay taxes on it, and all the fees and all the capital gains that you've been paying on those mutual funds within there are killing you. So you just have to be careful. That wealthy mindset, once you find an asset, you love it. Be able to understand the asset, be able to derive value from it, and don't be afraid to continue to hold that asset. When you see that little devil on your shoulder saying, hey, I think we should sell, let's take some profits.
The smart voice.
That's right. That is, it's the smart voice, as Stephen Pressfield says. That's another podcast that you guys should all go back and listen to, the Jake and Gino Show. It's about resistance. You hear the resistance inside of you saying, I need to be right. I just made some money. Maybe I should flip this and go buy the next shiny object. I challenge you. Take a step back. If you like that asset and you like the future opportunities that asset is going to be able to deliver to you, then I challenge you to say, should I sell or should I continue to hold?
Absolutely. And Gino, you touched on the financial services aspect of it, but who else? Brokers. If you're in real estate, brokers, every day I get 20 random phone calls from people I've never met before. Hey, I heard you got a property at 123 Main Street. You're interested in selling? You're interested in selling? No, I believe in it. I have conviction in the asset class. I'm holding, okay? Look, also, very few, and we saw this with the Amazon example, very few possess the skill to truly time a market to maximize the returns. Mm-hmm. We thought we were so cute. We bought an asset for $40,000 a door in 2017. We then turned around and sold it in 2019 for $100,000 a door. And boy, did we think we were cute.
Woo!
Wow, we're old, man. 60 look a door. At us.
Yeehaw!
Thing's probably worth $140,000 a door right now.
Yes.
I wish we still owned it. What the hell were we doing, Gino?
Well, we're looking to buy those assets right now. And the reason why we like that asset, great location, great vintage, very little
great
deferred maintenance.
Mix.
I mean, the whole thing was amazing. And that's what really annoyed me now that I look back. But even more importantly, everybody.
We sold like three assets in our lives. And I'm like,
ugh. Our very first deal, this is where it gets really powerful. Rents, one bedrooms on our very first deal were $350. Rents right now are $995 plus rubs. So you're seeing the power of inflation, the power of holding onto that asset over the years. Our debts practically stayed the same. Our payment has stayed the same. Our expenses have gone up, but our income is tripled. You know what? How much that asset is throwing off every single month because of that power? And it's going to, those rents are going to continue to rise. Our principal is getting paid down from our residents. So in the next 10 years or 12 years, there's going to be no debt on this asset. And we're going to be able to cash flow this property and all of the tax benefits. And one other thing I like to say, Jake was talking about who else benefits when you sell real estate. Well, attorneys.
Bankers,
CPAs,
the list goes on,
the mortgage,
and on and on.
They're the ones who feed at the trough.
Line.
They don't have long-termism. They're looking at it as a transaction. I want you to write this down, everybody. Transactions pay the bills. Equity makes you rich. When you're building equity in these properties, there may be some time in the future when you're about to retire or you want to pass off to somebody else, you're going to have garnered so much equity in that asset, whether it's your business or real estate or a stock. Then it may be time to cash in the chips, but hold on to that asset. If you truly believe in Amazon at $5, at $60, at $100, at $1,000, if you truly believe in it, man, continue to hold on to that asset.
Are you interested in building a future in multifamily real estate? Would you like to meet like-minded individuals? If the answer is yes, you'll want to pay close attention to this. Jake and Gino are often asked about putting on a multifamily event where individuals just starting their journey in multifamily can meet like-minded individuals and gain high-level education as opposed to bits and pieces online. Jake and Gino have decided to create something we've never seen anywhere else. We're calling these our pop-up meetups because we're going to get together for a few hours and discuss the three pillars of any successful real estate deal: buy right, manage right, and finance right. The next Jake and Gino pop-up meetup is March 18th, 2022 in Austin, Texas. For more information, just click the link below. Attendance is limited, so you'll want to reserve your spot today. We look forward to meeting you in person at our brand new pop-up meetup this March in Austin.
Amen to that. So again, it's Howard Marks' opinion that very few possess the skills to truly, or the insight to truly time the market. We thought we were so cute. We got about half of the value we could have. Big,
yes.
Big mistake. Now, what we do know is that we have conviction. We invest in things that we believe in for fundamentals, for demographic reasons, and we know that we want to hold them for the long term. We know the asset class that we want to be in, and we are in a growth market, okay? We want people coming to the market because there's demand. It's a basic human need. Avoid the get-there-itis. I'm going to say this again. You young guys, I'm speaking to you. Avoid the get-there-itis. Have patience. It will come. Now, there's another asset we like, Gino, and that's Whole Life. So how does this mindset that Marx describes here apply to Whole Life?
What I love about Whole Life is I started my first policy at age 30. So I'm 20 years into this policy. And people are saying, oh, the rates return are crap. I can get returns higher. I'm using it as a cash management tool. Mm-hmm. Not every single dollar that you possess needs to be at risk. For me in the beginning, it felt as if it was an expense. I was bringing money and putting money into my policy. It took a few years, especially back in the days. Now we have specially designed policies where you can design them. So your cash value really trues up a lot quicker. But for me, it took a few years. But what I love about it, it does promote the long-termism because I'm not going out there and raiding my bank account. It's sitting there. It's for emergency funds. It's for anything that I may need. It's not like I'm going to be transferring that money from there to my savings account real quick. It takes one or two steps to do that. So there is a little bit of a barrier to entry, but you're putting money in every year. And every year that policy is growing. It's growing.
It's a commitment.
It is exactly a long-term commitment. And it's doing multiple things. It's a death benefit and a living benefit, Whole Life for life. You are not renting out a policy. You're owning the policy. Now, term may be good when you're a little bit younger and you can't afford premiums, but I challenge you out there. If you're diverting money into a 401k, divert one into Whole Life. Do you know why? Because I can borrow the cash value from that policy and what we call the dual asset strategy. Invest it into multifamily, let the cash flow from the multifamily pay back the loan from the whole life policy. And what do I have left? As Jake likes to say, the Macarena. Creating two assets. I got the whole life policy and I got the real estate. And now all of a sudden, that is powerful. That's long-termism. You're not going to be able to do it in a year or 2 years. It takes a little bit more of a long-term mindset, but you can start a whole life policy tomorrow, start funding it, having 80 to 85% of the cash value day one to be able to pull it out. But it is a commitment and you're not worried about fluctuations. So let's say the market crashes in 3 years and you have money in the stock market. Well, your whole life policy is great. It's there. You're able to tap it out at any time. I would also challenge you, do not put every single dollar you own at risk and be wary with the banks with that 0.02% savings. You put into a whole life policy, you think about it for the long term, you're protecting yourself in the short term, you're able to have protection through that policy, you're able to have that opportunity cost. I don't need to retire to tap into those funds. I have those funds today. So when Jake brings me over 11 unit deal for 1.3 million bucks, I can go into that whole life policy, borrow the money out and give it to Jake. We take the deal down and that deal starts paying me. I start paying that loan back. And then all of a sudden, 3 years later, that's all it takes, a couple of years. Holy crap, my policy's paid off.
Do it again.
And I got a 12 unit property here that's paying me a couple thousand bucks a month. The cost segregation, the tax benefits from this thing, it's all about the opportunity cost, being able to strike when you have the money and when you have the opportunity, Jake.
I don't do 401k, so that's not even in my realm. It just replaces a savings account. Mm-hmm. Very simple. Whole life replaces the savings account, use it to buy the real estate, and I do it again and again and again. So that's what we're doing. Gang, to find out more, or if you want to schedule a call with our team, go to dualassetstrategy.com and see if it works for you. We appreciate your time today. Gino, great as always. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.